Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's For Crying Out Loud.
That's our show. It's Friday.
And it's Friday, and we got both producers here with us.
Producer Gary still in the house.
Hey, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Look at the two dads. Kaylin.
Hello.
Oh, my God. This is almost like full house.
I got to take a picture. I got to take a picture.
How
and post
cute.
It. I know.
You're both having babies, and they're both due around the same time.
I think they're within like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it should be about a month apart.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
And one's having a girl.
That
and
is
one's
crazy. Sanity.
And then friend of the Adam Carolla show, Jordan Harbinger, falls in between us.
Really?
Yep.
So, and it's okay. So you're having a girl. Kaylin's having a girl. Gary's having a boy.
Yep.
So you won't be competing over names.
No.
That's so insane. Who was the first one around here to know?
Oh, I was.
Matt. About, well, yeah. Kaylin knew.
I mean, about my baby.
No,
yeah.
But
the first outside person was Chris. Kaylin told Chris, right?
Well. Well, Jen told Chris because my girlfriend is Jen's cousin. So he found out on Thanksgiving, essentially.
Okay.
And
Gary,
then had to keep it secret a while.
Who'd you tell?
I didn't tell anyone until I did the reveal.
Until you did the... If nobody heard it, you should hear it. Adam, Gary called into the Adam Carolla show with a question about being a dad.
Yeah, advice for a first-time parent.
Mm-hmm.
And
they bought it.
I heard that, but I didn't think... It so clearly sounded like Gary.
Sure, but you were listening to it with...
Knowing it was Gary.
Yeah, you were listening... Everyone was listening to it.
They didn't know. I asked Adam.
I didn't, because Robin's husband listens to Adam Carolla's show and was like, oh, you got to listen to the first, like, 12 minutes of the show. So Robin and I sat in the car, and as soon as the call, I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
That's, well, maybe it's because you know me. I don't know. I agree that my voice... I didn't try to change my voice at all.
It did sound a lot. It was you. It did sound like you.
I originally, like, had planned to try to disguise my voice, but I very unexpectedly, when he took the call, my adrenaline started pumping, which I'm on mic so much that I did not expect that. And the idea of trying to do that and answer questions intelligently just went out the window. I was just, I don't know. I did not expect that kind of an adrenaline bump, but
We could post it on our Reel It In.
It's a big secret.
It worked out very well in the Adam Carolla show. It actually came a little later. I announced it. The first public announcement of it was on Water Cooler.
At the very end.
Yeah, because Kaylin the week before had done his
dropped
at the very end. So when Kaylin did his a week before, I just went, okay, well, that's how I'll do it then. And that'll be hilarious. I mean, not hilarious, but it'll be funny. Mm-hmm. And I liked the idea that it was very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Because who knows if that's a bit,
right.
You know?
Right.
It's a stupid show where we're all sitting around.
Nobody really believes you.
Right.
Oh, he's a dad. Dad to what? Another dog or something like that?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I got, yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at these two.
Hey, we need to – you know what's going to be great for you, Gary? You are going to need this.
And Kaylin.
You're both going to need this, duh. But Kaylin's here every time we read this
That's true.
Ad.
But no, help
so
me.
He knows about it. Care.com.
Oh, yeah.
Care.com is a great, it's a really easy and reliable way to get, you can get a lot of different kinds of care for everybody in the family, but specific to us, babysitters, nannies, childcare. It's so important, especially when the babies are really young. Mm-hmm. You need help. Like, you need, don't be ashamed. Like, to call somebody in. I started having a babysitter for Elby when she was 11 weeks old, and it was a lifesaver.
From care.com.
Yeah, you go to care.com, and it makes it very convenient to find. Because, it's hard sometimes, word of mouth. And maybe when you first have a baby, you don't even know people.
Exactly.
You can't just ask your neighbor, like, hey, and they're going to, you know.
Yeah, put your cigarette down, hold my kid for me while I go run errands.
Yeah, exactly. But care.com, you can look for any kind of care that you need, and you can also check their references, and you can find somebody who lives close so that, you know.
Yes.
Because people, if you find them really randomly, they'll be like, yeah, I'll drive 25 miles.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't need
Right.
Not paying mileage.
I know.
No, thank you. They're the world's largest digital marketing place in it. Anyway, here's what you're going to want to do. To save 30% off a Care.com premium membership, visit care.com/loud when you subscribe. Yeah, and once you upgrade to the premium membership, you can reach out to anybody, schedule interviews, even book and pay for the care online through the app, which is very convenient.
Very convenient.
Yeah, so do that. Also, fit on.
Get your fit on.
Yes!
I've been getting my fit on, by the way. Now that we have room to work out in this house, and we have an actual workout room, which is nice, and I can go down there after I drop the kids off, and I put my fit on, and you can pick anything you want. If I want to do cardio, strength training, yoga, Pilates, dance. I want to get dance, but we don't have any mirrors, so I don't know what am I going to do? Look at myself at the wall, my shadow?
Well, John is obsessed with yoga, and he feels like it's been really helping. Like his back.
Yeah,
with the stretching.
It's great.
And he says he's done the yoga. I've done the dance. And he says the yoga classes are fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah, he loves it.
I love that.
And it's great because you can do a workout plan that works for you. You can customize them based on, you know, your goals,
right?
Your fitness goals. You can work out with your friends, invite them over to do a class with you. You know, if you don't want to do it by yourself.
Do it a la carte.
Ask them, like, how they feel about your dance moves. You know, here's what you're going to want to do. You got to download the Fit On app, and it's spelled Fit On, FITON. You can get it for iPhone, iPad, Android. And then you use the code FCOL to get a free 7-day trial, right? So you can try it out, take a dance class.
Yes.
You know, and then you'll save 80% off of a subscription.
That's great. That's
really
a great offer.
You know what? It comes down to like less than $4 a month. Do you know how much the gym is?
I know. I was going to say this
a lot more.
Worth every penny. It is. Yeah. If you like to work out, you want to get your fit on.
And guess what? The kids can do it with you. So you just have to get one subscription for your phone, and then the kids can do it too.
Right.
You can airplay it onto the TV, and the kids. Oh my God!
Well,
my kids
do
are like
that.
Yes, right.
Oh my God, I'm going to do that
tonight. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stephanie's a workout expert.
Gary. All right. You know what? From last week, I just wanted to tell you this one quick story. And then ask us questions about what it's going to be like to have a baby.
But I just wanted
to tell you this one story just because I was kind of proud of myself. Because Sunday was Trans Visibility Day.
Oh.
Yeah. So I go to the pool with Sadie and Xander. And also, this is not just about having a trans kid, but this is kind of just a story for any moms of boys, I think. We go to the pool and we walk in, and normally Xander doesn't love the idea of going into a men's changing room.
I don't blame him.
You know, that's the thing is like it's not even just about being transgender, but it's also about like I think Xander he's not ready to see a bunch of like
ain't nobody want to see
schlong
all that.
Swinging in the wind and
no.
And it was the one thing that once he transitioned, he likes going into the restroom where people are just doing their business.
Right.
He doesn't want to be going to no girls' bathrooms.
Right. Right.
But just the idea of. Like, if he's not going to the bathroom, he just wants to go change.
Yeah.
He just feels – so normally when we just go into the women's locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody cares. First of all, there's never people in there.
Right.
It's not like the gym where people are walking around nude.
Right.
It's like it's – the showers are kind of off to the side.
Yeah.
Nobody's walking around a park locker room naked.
Right.
It's not nice. It's like a park bathroom.
I do sometimes. No, just kidding.
So anyway, here my point is this. We walk in, I go to the counter, and the guys pay the guy the money. It's like a dollar a kid. And then I go to walk in the changing room, and he's like, uh-uh, he needs to go that way to the men's locker room.
Really?
And I was like, I said, no, he's just going to come this way with us. He's just going to walk through with us. And he goes, no, once they're over 7, they need to use the men's locker room.
Wow.
And I was like – I didn't know what to do because Xander's looking at me like I don't want to, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to – I wasn't going to be like, look, my kid's transgender. He's got a vagina. So can he just
– Right.
He ain't got nothing that they don't have.
Right.
But then I was – of course, I'm not going to out him in front of like just the random guy at the park. So I was like – he goes, it's okay. Like I didn't want to make
Xander
a scene.
Said that?
Xander just goes – I was like, are you okay? And he goes, yeah. So he goes through. He didn't want to have to take a shower. They like them to take a shower before it, with men. So whatever. No. But okay. So Sadie and I go through and we come out and then Xander comes out and it was fine. But I just was thinking about it.
That's kind of awkward. I don't know if I would want Sonny walking
into,
that's
like, what I'm saying. It's not even
kid.
Just about just the special.
Like, they're a little young. I mean, maybe 12. But like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Right?
Yeah.
So you know what? I was like, I was sitting there and I was like, I don't want to be that person that's like, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. people are transgender and they might not feel comfortable. I was like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that person. And I'm not going to. And then I just kept thinking. I was like, today is the day of trans visibility. Like, if not letting people know that people that are not in the binary exist.
Right.
Then when?
Right.
Then when is a good time?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go talk to them about it. I'm not going to make a big deal, but I'm just going to let them know that things are not always as they seem.
Right.
And you have to sometimes be open to the possibility. Like, don't argue with a parent mm-hmm. about like mm-hmm. – so I was like, I'm going to go say something. So I went there and I – the guy
– Is this a young guy or
– Young – kind of young guy.
Okay.
Not super young. Not like teenager and not like even
Gary
in his early 20s.
And Brandon young.
Yeah. Like okay. that young. and I was like – I want to be as completely non-confrontational as possible because I just want to like, just want to educate.
Yes, sure.
I don't want to lecture, you know? So I went over and I have to like walk into this office sort of area and there's the guy's kind of sitting there and he's doing something. And I was like, can I talk to you for a minute? And you can just tell right away that he's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, okay. Like, can we go out here or whatever? And I was like, so I just want to tell you like that when we got here and I said and I told you that I wanted to walk my son through the restroom mm-hmm. and he's like, uh-huh. And I said, well, it's never happened to me before. We've been coming here like a couple of years and always I just walk him through the restroom. And I said, and the thing is like my kid is trans mm-hmm. and I said, and he's just still a bit uncomfortable about like being in a whole locker room, it's a little intimidating mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know that. And I was like, I, of course not.
Right.
Luckily, mm-hmm. thank God you didn't know that because, you know, I said, I'm sure he's happy about that. And I said, and I was never going to like out him. You could not have known. I go, but, you know, I said, I just, what I want to know is like, is that a hard and fast policy? Like you, because
if a mom says, no, I want my child to come with me.
Right. And he's like, well, it's just the thing is like that women get uncomfortable. They don't want kids like over the age of 7. They will complain like it makes them uncomfortable for there to be a boy in the locker room.
I said, I
totally see your point. Mm-hmm. I said, but there has to be like, you know, some kind of solution and without having to like go, well, my kid's a special circumstance. I go, I bet you a lot of women feel like they don't want their young child. And he goes, well, but there's attendance in there. It's very safe. And I go, I know. And I said, but you just never know what's going on mm-hmm. with people, mm-hmm. what their reason is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you're right. And then he said, and we have in the past few years, like we really want to be open to the fact that not everybody is a binary. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, look at you using the word binary. I go, what kind of evolved
young
guy
man
are you?
You?
You know? And he smiled and then he was like, no, I mean, of course, we want to make you as comfortable as possible, but still making sure that other people are comfortable. And I was like, of course, I'm not looking for a bunch of random ladies to come out and go, why are you letting some boy in there? And he's like, but you know, next time he's like, if you want, you could just come through the office, like just come through the middle. Just say, you know what? We'd like to just walk through the office. And he goes, that's totally fine.
So you have to walk through something? We have to walk through a dressing room?
Well, okay, you walk in. Yeah, so here's how it works. You walk in and there's a counter. And then behind the counter is like a little office space. Mm-hmm. And if you walk right through there, you're outside.
Okay.
The other way to get in is if you go to the left, you go to the men's side and you walk through the locker room and you give your little entry ticket, mm-hmm. and then you supposedly take a little shower. We never do. And then on the other side is the women's locker room, and both of them lead to a door that leads out to the same place. So the office staff can walk just back and forth,
right.
take people's admission, right. send them to the locker room, or walk out to the pool area.
I see.
So he was basically saying, come behind this desk and just walk out to the pool.
Oh.
So he's like, but I want you to talk to the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, but I go, if you send me to the manager, I don't want her to think you did anything wrong.
Right, right.
And he's like, no, she won't. I go, because you – I was like, honestly, like it's not – you couldn't have known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining. Mm-hmm. I'm just – I just don't think, especially in California, there's
aware.
A policy, a hard and fast rule about who needs to be where.
Right.
And anyway, so then the manager comes out, and wouldn't you know, because it's like a pool, mm-hmm. she looks younger than he does.
Uh-huh.
You know, she looks like a teenager.
Right.
Could not have been any nicer.
Oh.
Like, so sweet.
I love that.
They talk and confer.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, is she going to have a puss on when she comes out? Like, mm-hmm. who's this bitch mm-hmm. complaining? Mm-hmm. Could not have been nicer. She just comes out and she's like, hi, I'm Bianca. And
of
she
course.
Was like, so I understand that, like, you have, like, a situation. She's like, oh, my gosh. You know, we have really been working on, like, improving
that's great
like things, and in the next couple of years hopefully they're really trying to improve the facility so there's a gender neutral mm-hmm. like locker room and bathrooms. She's like, I'm so sorry that you would ever feel uncomfortable. And she's like, and you should never have to like explain
right
like your situation
right.
She's like, so I just want you to know, like, just if you ever see me or whatever the guy's name was, I don't remember, just say you want to come through the middle. And it's no problem. And if you ever get worried, just call ahead.
Oh, wow.
And say, I'm coming, you know, through.
Is
and I want
to. City pool?
I mean,
that's
so
amazing.
Nice.
That's great.
So nice. I was so glad I said something. And then when we left, I was like, I said, Xander, you don't have to go through the male locker room. He's like, I don't. And I go, nope. I go, already cleared it. We're just going to walk through the office. And he goes, okay. And so when we walked back and I was like, hey, Bianca, I was like, we come through? And she was like, absolutely. Come on. Come this way.
Oh,
I was like,
that's
I was
so
happy
nice.
I said something. And like.
It's a great story for Transversity Day.
I know.
That's
I was
really
happy
nice.
That I just like was able to. I was so scared. I was like, you know, I'm always like, you know, I don't shy away from confrontation.
Right,
but they hadn't done anything wrong.
Right.
I didn't want
to. You just wanted to
ruin
raise
anyone's
awareness.
Day.
Like, it's not everything is always like you said, as it seems.
Like, and you just never know what people are, why they might be wanting to come through a different.
I
changing room and
good.
To not be so quick to be like, no, you're here and you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all worked
I
out.
I love that.
Shout out to Van Nuys Sherman Oaks Pool. You guys are cool. What's up, Gary?
What's up, guys?
Gary, you're having a boy.
Yeah.
You know what, by the way, you know how I found out? Remember when we talked to Kaylin about it and we said something. Didn't we have a conversation on air where we said if one of the lackeys was going to be a dad, which one should it be or something like that?
That wasn't me.
It was a conversation you, me, and Chris Loxamana were having
in
the conference room.
I might have told you it was on air. I don't know. This was reported to me by Chris Loxamana. He thought it was funny and he kind of came up to me. He's like, hey. So you don't want to know what Lynette said?
What I said?
Lynette said that if any of the guys that work here was going to have a kid, it should be Kaylin. What do you think about that?
Oh, really?
So Chris is a I just thought you should know guy.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Fucking Chris.
I don't typically think of Chris that way, but in this instance, he definitely was.
Yeah.
So Steph, I then waited until the next time I saw Lynette. She was definitely not even like concerned with me. She was here doing other business.
Uh-huh.
She walked into a room I was in and I went, hey, Lynette. I heard that you said of all the lackeys, if someone's going to be a father, that it should be Kaylin. She went, I did? And I went, yeah, my son takes that personally.
Oh, my God. When he said that, I was like, I knew it when he was serious, but I still was blown away.
It was a fun joke.
It was funny.
I know. You texted me and said, because
you said it was okay.
Yeah, yeah. I texted Stephanie.
It really Kaylin told me ahead of time before Stephanie, and it really took every ounce of my moral compass to hold me back to text Stephanie. I'm gonna let Kaylin tell her. I'm gonna let Kaylin tell her. And then after he told her, I told him that, and he goes, "Oh, you could have told her. I don't care." Fucking asshole.
Well, I basically did a podcast tour announcing it. Like I did, mm-hmm. I did Water Cooler. I announced it the same night on Daves of Thunder, which is another show I produce. It eventually got announced on Rob Riggle's show. Like it got announced in different places. And when we got to the point where tomorrow morning, the first couple shows where it's talked about come out, I texted Stephanie late that night, probably later than I should have, because I realized she could wake up and a listener could have tweeted like, "Hey, your old producer's out," and I wanted her to hear it from me.
Yeah,
so.
That's so sweet.
I know. These guys, they're sweethearts.
You
I'm
guys
so
are
glad.
Both going to make the best dads.
Yeah, you are.
I think Kaylin's going to do great. I don't know about me.
You're going to do great.
Kaylin.
Thank God Kaylin's not fired.
Gary Savage. Always remembers my sober versity. My
I
sober
know.
Anniversary.
He does, doesn't he?
He almost every year is like, happy Tech. Birthday. He's
that's
so
sweet.
It's
very
you're
thoughtful.
Gonna, you're very sentimental.
Those
and
are,
that's a lot of being a dad.
Listen, mm-hmm. That's...
You're going to take a lot of pictures of your kids.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be that guy. Yes.
I already upgraded the iCloud storage. No, listen, awesome. the sober birthdays, I... Not necessarily with you, but I've seen that process up close, and it's hard. And that those are things to be remembered and to be congratulated and just pointed out. Like, just let's recognize.
But just the fact that you even think that way makes you like a responsible, empathetic
person. Right. I'm lucky that Joya's got the strong maternal instinct.
Like you two are going to be.
You can see it in the way she parents her animals and the way she cares for them. Like she's got that, which was something I was looking for, and she's got it in spades.
Yeah,
so
she does.
I'm lucky. I'll have support.
Your son's lucky.
Look,
yes.
It's going to be hard at the beginning. I don't know if you've ever heard
I don't
about
know if you guys
something
know about
called
our...
the mail room.
I have. I've seen tell on the Facebook group.
It's going to be like work in the mail room. It's going to be thankless.
It's kind of like working for Adam a little bit.
It's going to be like
thankless.
You just got a demotion big time.
Oh, my God. You're somebody's bitch 24/7. You're
like
rolling calls.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of already the case.
And you and Joya are going to get into fights. And you and your lady are going to get into fights.
Hmm.
It's you can't help it because that kind of pressure and those kind of high taking care of like something that it's like being a clerk at a life insurance company too. It's like your inbox is always full and you're getting yelled at, and then your significant other is mad because you're never going to be able to do enough.
Right.
And
or you're doing it wrong or this and that. Yeah.
And they're also dealing with stress, maybe some postpartum mood changes.
Yes. I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, listen,
just be aware of that is all.
I am aware of it. And
you'll get through it. Everybody does.
It goes by fast, even though you think it doesn't when you're in it. It's like the clock ticking up. Oh, my God. It's only 10 a.m. And I've been up for hours.
Oh my God, that is the worst. Okay.
That is
not
the worst.
To scare you, but the worst, 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 worst thing is the early baby days where you're trying to like schedule your day.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's going to tell you, put them on a schedule. I remember this from early on. At one point I was like, and we've talked about this many times, but where I was like, oh my God, what do you do with it all day? And I had this neighbor, her name's Janet. And Janet, I think I put something on Facebook, but I put something or to our neighborhood group and I was like, I don't know what to do with this baby all day.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm going crazy. My neighbor comes over and she's like, all right, here's what you need to do. By schedule, we don't just mean like, when they sleep and when they eat. It's like you got to go. It's like you do the rotation.
Yeah.
Like you go, okay, you got the Jiminy. So you lay them on their back and they look at this like some felt things that hang down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's like you get
a good
15 minutes of that until they start crying.
Out of the 24
hours. Then you move them over to the swing.
You just got to move
circuit,
them.
Circuit training.
Circuit training. They need a different environment every to 10 to 15 minutes. You got to like flip them like a burger.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. They don't want to be in the same spot or they get fussy.
But I mean, am I useful for like the first 3 months or am I just.
Yes. See, a lot of guys think that they're not.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't think that I'm not. I don't know how I will be.
Okay. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to
want
to get used to.
Pump the brakes on want.
What you're going to do is you're going to hold that baby a lot, because what happens is if the mom is breastfeeding, the baby gets super bonded to the mom, and then the guy feels more and more disconnected. Like, well,
yeah, I've already got
the baby
that.
Cries and wants her.
You feel
and
that
she's
already?
The one who can feed the baby.
I don't feel that already, but I am intellectually imagining. Aware that that is something that is going to be one of my primary utilities is holding and spending time with it and giving her a chance to not be holding it when she doesn't have to be.
Right.
So I've already got my own. By the end of this week, I will have my own little space sort of designed for that also.
Oh, nice.
And if
nice.
And maybe the baby's going to cry when you're holding it, because it is going to be really – he's going to be attached to mommy. But you have to just hold him anyway.
Yeah.
And, like, get used to it. And then also
– every kid I hold cries.
They aww. All – yeah, me
but then
too.
They get used to it. And, yeah.
But and maybe strap on the Bjorn, go for walks,
yeah.
You know – also,
you
if Joya
bonding.
Is going crazy and she's just fed the baby, then and it's not going to sleep, then maybe like go, oh, I'm gonna take the baby for a little walk, put it in the stroller, and like circle the block, get
we're
it
already...
out of the house so that she doesn't have to hear the crying 24/7.
I mean, we're already doing the walks to sort of keep Joya sane and
that's
you know
good.
Moving good. Healthy. So
yeah,
that's...
and then also, you know, what's really good to support her is just be like, when are you gonna lose the weight?
Yeah,
that's always you know? Good. Yeah.
Just start harassing her about
ask
it early.
Ask her to put a bathing suit on and then critique her.
Yeah, I have a gift certificate to bar classes that I was planning to give to her in the delivery room.
Yeah, yes, there you go. That's so sweet.
Isn't
like
it?
A push present is like here.
Here's your
a great
push
way
present.
To get into shape.
That's right.
You know, start doing some push-ups.
There you go. Are you going to be in the room with the baby?
Don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Will be if she wants me, but it's up to her.
Right.
What do you mean? Oh, in the room when she gives birth?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I think, I mean, I would figure.
Yeah.
But.
I think you will be.
I'm also going to be.
And don't be like
I
Adam.
I would be surprised if we get through this without an incident of me a la Knocked Up with Seth Rogen putting the sister kind of in her place.
Mm-hmm.
I would be shocked if I don't have to do that to at least one family member throughout this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, Stephanie? The scene in the hall where he's basically says, I'll tell people you're stealing babies and shit. Like,
yeah.
Go sit
in
the goddamn waiting room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our families love us so much that there will be someone who needs an attitude adjustment.
That's very good, because she's going to need support. She's got, I'm assuming she's got a lot of friends around, right?
Yeah, she does. Definitely. And even more family.
Does she have a Jody by any chance?
Yes.
Single friend that's like doesn't have kids
yes.
all the time in
her
the world.
Best friend and I and
that's
someone
awesome.
Someone who is her best friend is exactly like that.
Good.
She's very opinionated and strong-willed and I absolutely love her.
Okay, that's good.
So
I don't know what I would have done without Jody, to be honest. Like I needed the company. I remember Adam's mom going, "It must be so lonely." Emery just remember feeling lonely. And then after she left, Adam brought that up because he points out all the negative stuff that happened. He goes, what's my mom telling you how lonely it is? And I was like, she kind of has a point, to be honest with you.
It is lonely.
It is lonely. Like, would Jody visit and then she'd leave and I'd like watch her leave and go, look at her. Like, she's got all the time.
I know.
And she's like, just can go do whatever she wants.
Oh my God. The first,
but it's so
you get
fun.
A lot of buyer's remorse at the very beginning.
Yeah, you do.
You get, there's a lot of moments where you're like, why did we possibly think this was
right.
a good idea?
This is not a good idea.
This was a terrible
whose kid
idea.
Is this and when are they going to come pick it up and why does it keep crying? And
it's
in
like
the middle
being
of the
handcuffed
night,
all the time,
I would
too.
Hear the cry. I would hear crying in the middle of the night and going, what is that noise I keep hearing? Why do they stop? Oh, yeah, I have kids.
Oh, my God. Some days are really the worst. And honestly, the best advice I can give you is to not be hard on yourself for feeling that way.
Yes.
Because it does get better. But everybody, I feel, I don't know a single parent that didn't have times where they were like, I fucked up.
Well,
I
Suzanne and
my
I and Melissa, the three of us all said at different times, did you ever have that feeling like right after you had the baby, like days after, like, they say that you feel like this energy and this love when they
I
give you the
not.
Baby. I didn't feel that. Melissa's like, me neither. And we're not cold-hearted
monsters.
People.
We're not sociopaths.
Right. And we're great moms. She kicks ass. She's got three boys that she's, you know, it's just in the beginning, there's this whole myth like you should be falling in love with this. No, you're panicked.
Not necessarily. Yeah. And it's okay to tell somebody it's okay if you're not feeling like, and also sometimes the panic just makes you feel like, oh my God, that you you feel over responsible. Like there's never a part of you that can relax and go, all right, this should be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The baby's just sleeping. Some people are wired to worry.
I'm going to send Olga to your house.
Yeah, please do. I'm fortunate to have a lot of close friends who went through this a little bit before me. So like my best friend in the world who I talk to probably 4 hours a week on the phone, he has a 2.5 or 3 year old. So it's like I've got – and his wife is really cool and very close friends with Joya and stuff. And she works in the medical – you know, world. So I've got kind of them as a sounding board.
That's good.
I've got a few other friends too. So
does she have anybody who's having a baby around the
same
time?
I was just
going to
ask that.
Kaylin's girlfriend for sure.
Have they met?
Yes. And they get on very well.
That's okay.
I don't know if I'd call them friends yet, but they're definitely very friendly.
That might be good. That's a good thing.
Because one thing is great to do when you have a new baby and you have nothing to do with it, mm-hmm. is to go over to your other friend's house who also can't get out of it, do anything.
Right.
And you just like do nothing together.
With
you bring over some chips.
Yeah.
Right.
And you just, or wine, whatever you're into. And you just go like, wow, our life can suck together for
right.
a little while. Because the main sucky part is only just, it's because
first
you know
12
why,
years.
Yeah. No, at the very beginning, it's hard because you basically, it's like you're going on a Gilligan's Island to go to the mall. You're like, you need a steamer trunk of shit to mm-hmm. leave the house to go anywhere. You're like,
it's a 3 hour tour.
I'm trying to remember, but you need outfit changes for you and the baby.
Hopefully Joy is not like us that wouldn't care. Like I didn't bring like 10 diapers, you know, or treats for them or snacks for them and whatever. Like I'd always forget something.
But remember back though, when at the beginning part mm-hmm. where you were like, it would be easier not to leave.
Yes.
You're like, well, I'm going to have to feed them at some point.
Right.
So then
no,
I'm going to need.
And then take a nap.
They right.
have to take a
but
nap.
You're like, and then I'm going to have to change their diaper. So if I have diapers, I also need the diaper pad.
Mm-hmm.
It's your brain is always having to think, and then I need, my baby will only use this nipple
right.
on the bottle. So I got to have this. And do I have clean ones?
Right.
And then eventually you're like, stay home
Fuck
and watch an old Survivor
That's
episode.
What people, I know, people are like, you're not traveling with your baby? No. Traveling?
I
can get to the fucking Ralph supermarket with
I
my
know,
baby. Travel?
I know.
Are you insane?
Yeah, we have a potential trip very shortly after, like within 3 months.
Oh, you'll be fine.
That.
It's great.
I don't know. Joy is still a question mark for that one.
You'll be fine. But listen, that's tough. There's going to be there's going to be the time, too, where maybe you're not. You like your kids. The worst is when your kids like the other kid. Not saying this is going to happen with Kaylin and his lady, but then what happens with me and Suzanne, I don't like the way Suzanne parents, and I don't like her kid that much at that age.
Yeah.
Her kid was kind of an a-hole at that age and mean to my kid, but didn't discipline. Oh, stop that. Don't do that. Da, 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 da. And I just couldn't take it. It's
uncomfortable.
You're going
to get a timeout.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
just, that's the uncomfortable stuff with the other parents is what I don't like.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to see eye to eye with a lot of people in the Mommy and Me classes.
No.
But also,
see, the dads don't really, I don't know. I don't think they really have to care about that stuff.
Good.
And also, try not to have a really strong belief in a parenting philosophy
right.
going into it. Because best laid plans. Like,
yeah.
you can read these philosophies and be uh-huh. like, attachment parenting. That sounds right up our alley, and that's going to give us some nice boundaries and tell us how to do it. And then you got to parent the baby you have.
Right.
So,
you have to be flexible.
You can't be like, you know what? The baby's going to be sleeping on our bed. It's going to be attached to me 24/7 because you might be like, what the hell was I thinking?
Right.
This baby is like, that's too much. And you can take a lot of different advice from a lot of different.
And you can mold them too. You can start to mold them. Like, I want you to go to bed at 7. You're going to start going to bed at 7. Whatever.
Right.
You can kind of get that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm consuming a lot of information right now, but I'm treating it a lot like Catholics will say, grocery store Catholics or buffet Catholics, where you just pick the parts that you like. You
wow.
know, you don't necessarily just subscribe whole hog to the entire philosophy no matter what. It's just, you know, this piece works for me, this piece works for me. I'm treating it a lot
yeah,
like that, and I think my
good.
Wife is too. It's
good.
Just there can be wisdom in a lot of different approaches, and you can sort of make your own smorgasbord of
right.
you know, the pieces that you like or that work for you.
Like,
can I ask?
Yes.
Yeah,
just
ahead.
From some of my personal experiences, are the support staff at every OB's office total cunts, or am I just lucky?
Right, cunts. Yeah.
I mean, okay, so the first time I made a scene.
Already.
You've already made a scene?
Twice. The first time.
Love it.
Wait till you get older and take them to Macy's.
Well, the thing that's tough about this is that this OB is my mother-in-law's OB, my wife's OB, and my wife's sister's OB. So okay. I'm playing pretty dangerous here if I'm screwing around in this office that it may get back to other members of my family. And the OB, I like. When we get him in the room, bit of a chatty Cathy, but nice guy. Really good. He takes time to answer Joy's questions. He seems knowledgeable. Great guy. Joy's happy with him. Fine. Everyone in the family agrees that the support staff is terrible. The first time I made a bit of a scene, the lady came in and said, "Did you leave a urine sample?" And Joy said, "Oh, I didn't know that I needed to do that." And she said, "Yeah, you need to do that every time." And Joy said, "Got it." And then she explained again that you need to do it every time. And Joy said, "Got it." And then she explained again. And then I said, "Got it," fairly loud.
Uh-huh.
Like
fairly loud, to the point that Joy like shot me a look. And then just this past Monday, she had an appointment at 9 a.m. And at 10:10, I had to leave to go to work, and we hadn't seen anyone yet. And as I was leaving, I slammed the door of the office fairly forcefully. The door slams as it is. Wow. I gave it a little extra. According to Joya, that's when everyone's attitude changed, and they all started being nice to her, and the doctor immediately showed up, and everyone like it. She said it was a 180 from everyone in the whole office.
Wow.
That wasn't my intention. My intention was to let them know I was pissed that I'm now missing this appointment.
You're in for a whole lot of hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those scenes happen all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I hate being in an office. I just did the mammogram thing, you know. I just don't like being – I went there the day I talked to you on the phone. I was going.
Yeah.
And by the way, Stephanie and I don't talk on the phone. Well, you tell people all that all the time.
Right.
Well, we were on the phone. And I was going, anyway, I get there and she's like, "We're backed up for another hour. It's going to be an hour wait." And I go, "Well, all right. I'm not going to sit here for an hour." And then she said, "Come back on Saturday." But the thing is, which I did. The thing is like these people that, you know, that you have to deal with them. You're at their mercy. But they have sometimes can have be the bitchiest of bitches.
Well, listen,
assholes.
My friend pointed out, like, those people constantly deal with pregnant and super emotional people. So that's not a fun job. And you're constantly dealing with people whose emotions are maybe a little bit more heightened or scattered than your own. So, like,
right. But when Joya says, "Got it," and then the stupid asshole has to go around a second lap and then the third
I one.
I hate that.
I hate that. I feel justified in both of those situations. Yes. I don't think that I maybe handled it the best way, but I think that ultimately they weren't either. So I had to do something because I don't want my wife to lose her mind.
Right.
Like,
fuck that.
The third got it. And it wasn't like we had changed topics. It was still on the,
I hate that,
you know, whatever. And it was just, ugh.
Oh, my goodness.
See, the thing is that not everybody is cut out for customer service. In fact, most people aren't. Like, I'd be terrible at it.
Oh, so would I.
But people need jobs. So a lot of people are at a job that's not a great fit for them. Like, they're going to get irritated fast, or they like to lecture people or have a little power thing going on. And then you end up having to deal with those people. And then you go like, "Is it me?"
No.
And then you're like, "No, a lot of people are assholes."
Right.
By the way, we have to get off topic for a second because I forgot that you got to tell us the Garagos thing.
Yeah, what's
going on? Let's
talk about Brooke Lennon.
Brooke Lennon, man.
They have baby. I think I'm almost positive they have baby.
They might
bedding.
Not. So let's not even say that.
I don't
it's
know.
Possible.
I think they do. Kaylin, well, you look that up. Anyways.
They do.
Eventually, you're going to
need. Called Brooke Littles.
Brooke Little, see, I knew.
And I'll be checking that out.
Because I'm on their website all the time.
Is there a promo code I can use or something?
Yes, if you will use FCOL. But listen, you guys all, everybody knows how much we love Brooke Lennon because we talk about it like you
constantly.
Know. Yes.
Yeah.
I even took pictures of Phil just because of the Brooke Lennon bed he was sitting on. I love my, I hate when I have to use the other sheets. Anyways, you guys know how great of a quality is. It's 5-star hotel quality sheets. You can't get any better, but at a reasonable price. So our listeners will get an exclusive offer. You get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code FCOL at brooklinen.com. That's what you can do. You can get 10% off and you can get your free shipping and your bed can be beautiful and luxurious.
Absolutely.
Danny Two Sheets uses them. I just talked to him. I told him he's got to get him on the Brooklinen.
Also, Ritual. Ritual, first of all, do you want to be stuck trying to remember to take your vitamins and order
no.
new vitamins and go buy new vitamins? And Ritual, Taylor makes the vitamins for you and make sure to send them to you every month, your month supply. Mm-hmm. And if you forgot to take your vitamins a few days or you don't need them right away, you can hit pause so that you won't get charged.
I love that.
Guess what? Prenatals. They have prenatals. And you know what? Joya is absolutely going to need vitamins once she has a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Help regulate her hormones.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. As I get older, I'm learning that vitamins, it does make a big difference.
Yeah. So they have the essential prenatal and they have the multivitamin for women from the D3 to the omega-3. They help fill in the gaps in a woman's diet. And especially if she's breastfeeding, she's going to need extra vitamins. So better health doesn't happen overnight. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. So get 10% off by going to ritual.com/FCOL.
Do it.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yo.
You work on a podcast called Reasonable Doubt, hosted by
yes, I do.
Mark Garagos. Garagos, yeah. Garagos.
Before we even say anything about Mark Garagos, I just want to say I love him so much.
I know. I can't help it.
The heart wants what it wants.
That's
exactly. He's just charming AF.
Yes, he is.
And I don't – he's like they say about Trump. He could murder somebody on Fifth Avenue and I'd be like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What'd they do? He's so nice.
We love him. We can't help it. Well, listen, I have a personal when somebody's suing you, you want him on your fucking side. That's for sure.
Yeah. And like I don't hold it against him. I mean, we all know Scott Peterson did it. But that doesn't stop me from thinking it's hilarious that he stands up for Scott Peterson. Hey, he was his defense attorney. And I'm not saying that he's not slick. And I'm not saying he didn't even do this thing with Michael Avenatti.
Right.
All I'm saying
I don't even know.
Between the two of them, Michael Avenatti seems much more like he could be up to no good.
Yeah.
But Mark Garagos seems kind of like.
Listen, when it comes to Scott Peterson, if you're going to get mad at Garagos for that, then you got to get mad at a butcher for hurting animals.
Like, right.
That's a lawyer doing lawyer shit.
Yes.
Like,
right.
It's just, you know,
yeah,
what are you going to do? Like, he's a defense attorney.
Right.
That's what you do.
Right.
That's why he gets paid. That's anyway, tell us what you know.
Listen, there's not a lot that I know. I can tell you a lot of what he said about Jussie Smollett lately. You know, that case he's a part of, obviously. But as far as the Avenatti thing, he hasn't said much. I'll tell you what I surmise from knowing him and from watching everything unfold in the press.
Mm-hmm.
It's April 1st as we record this, and maybe I'll look really foolish in 3 months. Nothing happens to Mark relating to Avenatti.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think?
Nothing of note. No. Because if you read the complaint against Avenatti and you read it and let's all assume, you know, that the Wall Street Journal is correct and CC1 is Mark Garagos, which, by the way, that's only been confirmed by that publication. So or only been, you know, stated by them.
Oh, really?
It's been restated by a lot of people, but it's never – no one involved with the case has come out and said that. Let's assume that for the force of this argument that that's true. If you read
Reasonable Doubt, yeah.
They did the exact same things. You know, the way they read it is everything that Avenatti did was in concert with CC1.
Okay.
So if that's true, they would have charged Mark at the same time. There's no reason not
exactly.
to charge him. If he really did the same thing and there was no situation where maybe he was – let's put this on the record. I am 1,000% speculating here. I have no information to suggest this. But maybe he was cooperating, or maybe he was involved somehow, or maybe he, in that capacity of that meeting, was in fact Avenatti's attorney, which he has represented Avenatti in matters in the past. I don't know if he was at the time or if they were both in their independent role as an attorney, not representing each other, but I, based on everything I've seen, I believe nothing happened. Nothing negative of consequence happens.
But that's a big thing, though, to accuse him of.
Like, it is, but no one's really accused him of it.
Right.
The Wall Street Journal came out and said this guy who the the government is trying to keep his name under wraps.
Unindicted co-conspirator.
Correct, is Mark Garagus. Mm-hmm. So the Wall Street Journal is accusing him of something or insinuating that, but no one else has really come out and accused him of anything. And I don't think you call into the Adam Carolla show 3 days later if that's really the case. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, I sent him an email when this was all happening and just said, you know, just know you're in my thoughts. And he came back and he didn't seem like a guy who was concerned or distracted with his own legal defense or, you know, talking to his team of super lawyers or whatever. He seemed like Mark. He seemed mm-hmm. normal, and this did not seem to me like he was concerned. Mm-hmm. So just based on my history of knowing him, also one thing to point out, Mark is not – Michael Avenatti has some fairly well-documented financial problems that are pretty public. He's had a few of his firms go bankrupt, stuff like that. Without telling any tales out of school, Mark is not hurting for money. So an extortion play
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't seem like it'd be advantageous to him.
Right.
He's not, you know, Adam likes to talk about fuck you money and fuck me money. Mark falls somewhere closer to fuck me money mm-hmm. than fuck you money. He is, you know, well to do and yeah. doesn't. I don't think that an extra $20 million
between fuck you money and fuck me money.
That's a good question.
Basically the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire. Like you fuck me money is you will say, fuck you, I'm mounting a defense that is going to cost me $50 million just to stand on principle. It's just I'm throwing my money away because I feel like it and I can afford to do that.
Right.
Okay.
Whereas fuck you money is just more
you
like
can quit your job.
Right.
Fuck off. Okay.
And also, though, let's be clear that Garagus comes from his firm is Garagus and Garagus. So
right.
it's his father's legacy who he loved. I really don't think that he would put any of that into jeopardy over money.
No, I don't either. And I just he's too intelligent
right.
to put himself in that position.
So was he friends with Michael Avenatti and they might have been up to something together? Is that the charge or was he working for Michael Avenatti?
See, that's what's unclear. I mean, he has worked for Michael Avenatti in the past. Mm. They have some form of a relationship. I don't know whether it is both business and personal, but they know each other, certainly.
I know what happened. I didn't go to law school, but I know. I know exactly. I'm starting to see what happened.
I feel like you don't sell yourself short.
Yeah,
you went to law school a little bit. You watched Law and Order.
Well, I'll, totally.
A lot of episodes.
All of them. The SCUV, all of them. SUVs. So I think what happened is Avenatti was up to no good or something. And I think that he was using Garagus was trying to be his attorney or something. And I think that he might have maybe.
You're really clearing this up, Linda.
I know, right? I'm just saying, like, we don't really know exactly, but I'm going to say that Garagus, they're calling him a co-conspirator, but I don't think that he was actively involved in the act. I think he was probably trying to, like, hey, if you want to do this, this is you, but this is what, I don't know. This
sure.
is what I would do if I were you. I don't know.
Sure. I could certainly
something
see that
like
scenario.
That.
I just.
See?
Go back and read the complaint against Avenatti and read what they're saying CC1 did. If they have that cold, there's no reason not to indict him. Why would you wait? And if they have him cold and they're going to indict him, Mark's going to start to clam up a little bit and be
right.
less publicly available, which
right.
certainly has not been the case. We did an hour and 15 minutes on Reasonable Doubt this week where he went over everything from the Smollett case in detail. He obviously can't talk about the Avenatti thing because it's ongoing and we don't know what his role is, but
right.
whatever his involvement, he's not talking about it,
mm-hmm.
but he's out there talking. And if he thought that he was going to be federally indicted for an extortion scheme, I don't think he would be as public.
Yeah.
Got it.
So that's what I know.
Okay.
That's what I speculate, I guess.
All right.
And use him for a babysitter. He's a good babysitter.
Hey, I'm just, yeah, seriously.
It's fun. Kaylin, when we were talking to Gary about, were you having any questions that were coming up? Having a baby?
No, I was just listening and taking notes.
Really? Taking notes for real? Wait, Gary.
That's good pod. Kaylin just held up a piece of paper with notes on it. It's, you know, for the listeners.
He's new at this, Gary. Give him a break.
Yeah, you know.
You had a question about the strip club thing.
Oh, Kaylin. Kaylin's going to pull up a photo on the Corolla Drinks Instagram. It's from the wine. What was the name of the conference?
Oh, the beverage, restaurant and beverage.
Okay, so you guys went out there.
Put on by John Taffer.
Sure. I've been to that conference before with John Taffer. Now, if you scroll down, it's that picture right there on the right. Okay, if you look at this picture.
Those pictures are
I just
awful.
Find it humorous you guys went to a strip club because in this picture.
Oh, God.
Patrick could not be trying harder to make sure that his hands can be seen and are nowhere near any body parts of any people. So this picture and then hearing you reveal that you guys then at the end of the night went to the strip club just seem to be diametrically opposed.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
those look like normal strippers.
No,
I don't think those are strippers. I'm not suggesting they're strippers. What I'm suggesting is these are people that were at the food and drink whatever
convention.
That had come by the Corolla Drinks booth. Somebody said, hey, let's get a picture for the Corolla Drinks Instagram. But they're attractive females and married Patrick on the left. There, who is about to have a baby with his wife, is like, okay, hands in the middle, basically covering my penis, so no one like thinks that I'm, you know.
Wait, he's having a baby too?
Oh, they're trying. No,
okay,
they're not. I don't know unless you know something. I don't think she's pregnant yet.
No, but
they're trying.
I think that it's,
they're actively trying.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
Yeah,
got it. Okay,
yeah. But those girls were just—you can't tell—but one's wearing bunny ears and they both have bunny tails, which I don't know why we took a picture with them and had to post it, but. It was nice, though. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they have nothing
Lynette's
to do.
Lynette's my kind of girl because she's wearing like a baseball, like a raglan tee and jeans. Uh-huh. And somebody wrote, Lynette still looks the best.
Aww.
She does.
No, I don't.
Strippers look like they're trying too hard.
I had such cutest. A swollen, like my face was all swelled. My eyes. That place is so dry. Vegas is like,
everybody's
it fucks
smoking.
With my, yes. And everybody's, my hair smells like cigarettes. And I just, ugh. I just felt like I needed a shower in that picture.
Vegas is a gross place.
It is. And I'm taking my kids there in a couple days for spring break. What am I thinking? I don't know. But that's what they want to do. That's what Melissa wants. I don't know.
Because the problem is I think our kids have aged out of Rancho Relaxo.
Yeah, I know.
So you're like,
last year, that's where we would head.
I know. We went, the last time we went, we were like, I don't know how many times we've been. Three times. But we were like... I mean, after a day, we were sort of done.
Yeah.
We were like, okay,
it's
we
a
did
pool
the...
with a slide. That's
yeah. Which when they were like seven was like the greatest thing that had ever happened to anybody.
Right. I know.
I feel like they were seven, and maybe Elby was 10, and it was like the greatest summer of our lives.
I know. I
but
still
now
wouldn't
like,
mind going.
I wouldn't either, but it's not as like I think my kids would want a little more. Excitement.
Well,
which
they're
going to
get
will
it.
Have, and they'll have a big pool, and
yeah. Then they got Archie and well, Jimmy Kimmel is doing a show there this week.
Oh,
that's why we're going there.
Oh.
Because Sal's going to be working, and Melissa's going to be alone with the kids, and it's spring break, and her kids and my kids are off at the same time, and she's like, Lynette, we got to go to Vegas. Let's just go to Vegas.
Oh,
and
perfect.
I'm like, why? Why don't can we? All right. And she's like, yeah, it'll be fine. We'll go for a couple days. So. But, you know, what do I do? Like, at Rancho Relaxo, you can go and say, okay, they're going down to the pool, fine. But, like, in Vegas, do I let them walk through the casino to the pool by themselves?
I feel like you totally
can.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah.
You're talking about the most monitored square footage in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's probably okay.
That's okay.
I don't think
they're old enough. They're
12. I don't think people are really – I think most people pretty well know that within those casinos, you can't get away with any shenanigans.
There's a lot of security.
That's true.
And
it's not – I feel better now, yeah.
I mean, there was that really sad
story. Send them down as a team. Don't have them walking around alone.
No.
But like,
and not at like 4 a.m.
No.
But
like
it's going to be daytime hours. Right. They're going to be.
What story are you talking about?
Oh, it was like a murder story that happened many years ago. But it was a guy
at the outskirts.
But it was somebody. Yes, Pims.
Yes.
But the guy, the dad of the kid,
was gambling
and left his kids to like wander around. It was at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I know. It was a little girl, like she was like 7 or something by herself at 4 a.m.
Yes,
at some fucking shit.
And the kid killed her in a bathroom.
Yeah,
but that's,
I remember
that's
that.
That's neither here nor there,
right,
Lynette.
Right. Are you watching are you watching the abducted? I feel like I know that story so well. Maddie.
I listened to the first couple
abducted
of episodes.
In plain sight?
No. It's on Netflix.
It's called Maddie, I think.
No, it's on Netflix. It's the girl
it's
that was
on Netflix?
In Portugal, the girl that got kidnapped. And nobody, she's never been found.
Yeah, you're not listening to the podcast? There's a show about it?
Oh, there's a podcast about it?
Yeah.
Wow, we got everything covered. Yeah, no, I started watching it, but I feel like I know this story. I've read it. I remember when it happened because I had little kids. I think the kids were just born. She's been gone like 10 or 12 years. And Patrick watched it and he's like, you don't need to watch it. I watched it for you. It's kind of boring. I was like, okay.
Oh.
But then, like, yeah.
It's called The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann.
There you go. McCain. Yeah.
I'm listening to a new podcast that was on the For Crying Out Loud Reel It In page. I mentioned it briefly on the Tuesday show. It's called The Promise, and it's about the projects in – oh, my God. I can't remember where it is. I want to say it's in, like
– Chicago?
Louisiana? I think so. I can't remember now. I'm so bad.
It's about the projects.
Is it Nashville?
Yes.
It's from Nashville Public Radio about the public housing smack in the middle of a city that on the rise. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good.
Really?
Yeah. It's really well done.
Mm.
And it's just got all these little stories in it. It's only 6 episodes.
And how long are the episodes?
They're only like a half hour. It's
See,
not
I don't
a long
like
time.
That. Like, come on, you guys. Fucking like
One
48
of them's a little
minutes.
Longer. I know. We give like a good hour.
Yes. Come on, you
and
guys.
And we're not even talking about anything.
I know.
We don't even have a topic.
Exactly.
And we managed to give you guys an hour.
I'm find these murder podcasts and they're like 38 minutes. I'm like, come on.
I know. It's ridiculous. If you feel, plus they'll have a bunch of ads.
Right.
You're like, if you're going to have all those ads, give me some content.
Exactly.
I always feel guilty if we're like supposed to do a short show. I'm always like, no, because if we're going to do 6 mm-hmm. ads, you can't be
yes,
like,
yes, exactly.
Every 7 minutes, go time for another commercial.
Right. Well, thank you guys. You're a parent now. No, and then I saw on our Reel It In page them talking about Root of All Evil, and somebody was like, you know, when you really love something really a lot, and then you tell somebody that they got to watch it or listen, and then when they do, they're like, eh.
They're underwhelmed. You know what I think it is? I think it's that people, when they presented it to me, I love the fact that people are like, mm-hmm. okay, for your approval, Stephanie, I bring you Root of Evil. It's like, okay, look, I understand it's got some current day mm-hmm. thing, but it still took place in like, what, the 30s?
That's how I feel. Like, so she was
right,
cut
but
in
it was
half.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
And it still has that, like, okay, it was this crazy mad doctor guy that was a surgeon. And, yes, he was fucked up. And, yes, the whole family had – I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a 4 in
it up
the
to
year. There's in the 40s.
I mean, did people have cars back then?
No. How is she supposed to get away?
Was there color photography yet?
Yeah. And now what crime scene photos? Photography?
I picture everything being – I picture the front of the book. It's like everybody's got those like a flapper uh-huh. hairstyle. Uh-huh. Like, was – 20s, right. 30s, 40s. I don't know.
It's
wasn't,
all the same. I know.
Did it happen in Van Nuys?
Right.
No.
Although, I will say it did – there was the house or something on Franklin, which is where we used to live. In Hollywood, we have to go up
yeah. –
I would have to pass that house to go home. And they're talking about the house where somebody got naked and sat outside like a statue.
Right. I did listen to quite a few episodes. There's something that happens, though, sometimes when I'm listening – and it's happened on now a few podcasts. I've mm-hmm. just gotten disappointed. It happened with the Broken Hearts where like
right.
towards the end I was like, are you running out of material?
Right,
like,
no,
or are
no.
you just trying to make the story longer but you don't have anything to really talk about and you're starting to go over the same things?
Right.
I don't know. I was getting a little bit confused as to who was being interviewed and now they're interviewing these. Oh, I don't like it when I need to make myself like a family tree
yes,
and go,
me
all right,
too.
So this person was married to this. Now, is that the fucking dad or the grandpa?
I know.
I don't know. I lost track.
I,
who's Uncle Steve? Like, then I go, I can't picture these people. And then every time I
that's
start a new
I
episode,
feel.
I'm like, no,
oh
this
my
is
God.
New. Okay.
That's exactly
well,
how
Uncle
I felt.
Uncle Steve was the detective. I'm like,
said
okay,
to
was
myself,
that guy his dad or was
Uncle
that his brother?
Steve? I started listening to it last night and then like Uncle Steve and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Now that I got, there's an uncle. First of all, there's two people with the same name,
right?
Right. You know, and yeah. then like, then there's the grandma and then wait, is she the daughter of the who? What do we tell? Who's who?
Yeah. And which one? Okay. Then one of them was told she was black, but
right.
she was really white.
Right.
But then that was somebody's daughter and then that was a second cousin is
yeah.
talking about that. Like what?
I know.
And then I'm just like, well, this has now gotten so far afield from the
right.
actual murder that
right.
it's not even a true crime. It's just a fucked up family podcast.
A fucked up family. Exactly. I was thinking to myself, now we just lost like 3 listeners, by the way, who love that podcast and like, oh, I'm so disappointed that Stephanie doesn't like it. But
I don't like to be confused.
What was I going to say? Shit.
That it's the fucked up family podcast.
That's what I was going to say. So now I'm listening. So basically, she goes to visit to meet her mom for the first time. And her mom's like 2 hours late to pick her up at the airport. Marijuana everywhere. She smokes pot. And then so she talks to her later on and she's on a telephone conversation going, I just felt uncomfortable. I don't like the way you're raising your children. So now I'm listening to people I grew up with.
This is
raising your children. That's how my friend Wendy Thompson grew up down the street. Her mom was a stoner. She was always late. She was flaky. So what's the deal? What are we talking? So is this – what am I listening? It's okay.
But then they're like – and then she was like 3 hours late and then the woman was going to leave but then she didn't and then the mom showed up and then they just hugged and hugged and hugged and hugged.
Right.
I'm like, weren't you like, bitch, you were supposed to be here 3 hours ago.
I know. And the kids are named Peace, Love, and Happiness some shit.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, now I'm listening to a bunch of stoners, like a fucked up family.
Right.
Is that
what
this
is? And I guess, I understand that the guy, I don't know. I just, a number of episodes in, I was like, this has gotten off the beaten path. And the path is not something that I was that interested in the first place.
Thank you.
So now I've kind of lost interest.
Yeah. But I'm still going to listen because I'll tell you the thing that they did to the girl, that was the only interesting. And I was getting my nails done for the first time ever. I haven't gotten a manicure and pedicure in a long time because I do it. But I was listening to it. I had to rewind because the shit that he did to her, just the draining of the blood. And
oh, yeah. That was gross.
Yeah.
By the way, you know another thing, Gary, that you're going to need?
What's that?
For your kid, because you know what? Math is hard.
Yeah.
Can you do math, Gary?
I can, but only to a certain level. I think about third or fourth grade is where I'll top out.
Yeah. Well, you know who is good at math? The people at Mathnasium.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And you can help your kid excel in math by sending them to Mathnasium if they need it. I think I need to start sending Sadie there.
Yeah.
She might benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, you know why? The kids love it. They don't hate going. They kind of
like it. They love it.
They get them. They make them feel motivated. They give them confidence, but they also make it fun, and they give prizes, and they can work for things. And everybody's really nice there.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 1,000 math-only learning centers worldwide. It goes from grades 2 to 12. You can drop by anytime. You don't need an appointment.
That's what I like.
You join it for the month, and then you can just go as many times as you want. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah.
So more than 500,000 parents trust Mathnasium to help their kids get caught up or get ahead. Go to mathnasium.com/FCOL to learn more about their programs. That's Mathnasium, mathnasium.com/FCOL.
Nice.
Another great show. Thank you, Gary, for being here with us
again. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Kaylin, for not making me fire you.
We love you, Kaylin. We're so glad you're here.
I really am curious to see who bought it. We'll see.
So also, Patreon. We really need you to join Patreon because that's what – that's how Lynette and I live our lives because we love doing this podcast so much. And if we get up to a certain amount of money – a month, we'll just do we'll start doing 3 shows.
We will.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on there.
And we have some new stuff coming, right?
Yes. Today is Friday. I am ordering t-shirts today. I'm out to a couple different vendors. I'm going to go with a different t-shirt style, but with our old logo for one more run of t-shirts.
Okay.
I say Then we have a new logo coming. So we're going to run a batch of new logo shirts and we'll present those on Patreon too.
Yes.
But for now, all of you guys who just signed up at the $10 level or who haven't gotten their t-shirt yet are going to get your t-shirt. I should have them in about a week. So close to when you're hearing this podcast, and then I'm going to start sending them out.
And the new t-shirt will have the new logo and a new saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a hashtag something.
Proud no-getter or reel it in or something fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we really want to do those sleep shirts with no-getter on them.
Yes.
We have a lot of plans.
Yeah. We do.
All right. But until then, join if you want at the $5 level and get all our bonus content. We did a show this week about LB's school.
Follow-up.
Yeah. I had a meeting with the school, and I talked about it. But if you're at the $50 level, your business gets a shout-out like Michelle Baker. She's Green Horizon CBD without the THC. And they have a salve which relieves your pain. You rub it on anywhere you have pain. It really helps. And they have a new website, their own website now. It's mygreenhorizon.com/store/FCOLBaker. So go there. Also, Sarah Dean hosts Shameless Mom Academy podcast, where she helps moms find their identity. Could turn Joya onto that, and Kaylin, your lady, onto the Shameless Mom Academy podcast. Oh, yeah. Check out – go to shamelessmom.com. Also, comedy film nerds, it's Graham Elwood and my friend Chris Mancini, and they review the week's new releases. They chat with a special guest. You can get that for free on iTunes. Go to comedyfilmnerds.com. They're super funny, and I love those guys. They make me laugh really hard. So go check them out. Oh, and one more. I'm sorry. Casey Howell. She's a real estate agent with Keller Williams Crystal Coast. She covers all of North Carolina. So you can – sorry. Go to her for – if you're moving, if you're a military wife, if you want a vacation home, email her at Casey, K-A-C-E-Y, Marie at gmail.com. Okay, that's it.
I'm looking at Adam's notes because we're sitting at his desk, and it says Sirius XM, and Sirius is spelled Sirius, the way you spell Sirius.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, you're a parent now.
Don't F it up.
Thank you.